Blog Talk Radio.
Think of me, think about her since I intimacy. I'm trying to strum you like guitars in this beat. And consider rhyme and chuck it the blase split. Plus, you got a man, but he ain't quite me. The type of man that try to give you what you need. And he wanna know where you are, where you be, where you going, where you stay, where you subject to be. Damn. If I was him, I wouldn't even need. I would trust you when you say that you are what you be. Say, he the type of nigga that tell a chick, take his girl on a date and they go to Mickey D's. Say, I'm the type to try to stab in the Jeep, try to take you out to see things and occasionally creep. Yeah, your man is doing things I can't really see. Don't sound too good, it sounds tainted to me.
The main message here
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for a DC-3, ain't no more freeless feet. I gave him chance and chance and chance again, I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead, but still tell you to freeze. Fucked up, I seen what I seen. I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. Throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk, then I sobered up quick when I heard all that time that they gave to Talib. He got a life sentence plus. We just some products of our environment, how the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames some. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the space. Fuck up the way that we living, it's not getting better, you gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive, overprotective, go crazy for mine.
You gotta pay attention to the sign. Seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on. I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind of, they right or they wrong. I call him now, he'll pick up the phone. And it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell him wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That shit be crazy, they supposed to protect us. Swords and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, that shit messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. The bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Fuck it, I'm going on the front line. He gon' bust your ass if you come past that gun line. You know when the storm go away, then the sunshine. Gotta put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters. I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something. So this what it comes to. Every video I see on my country, I got power now, I gotta say something. Corrupt the police been the problem where I'm from. But I'd be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend, I don't follow them. Altercation with the law, had a lot of them. People speaking for the people, I'm proud of them. Sit together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope. But I'm telling my youngest to vote. I did what I did cause I didn't have no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This bullshit is all that we know. But it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no game. Ain't taking no more, let us go for them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to kill us, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep, they heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep. Cause I'm scared they'll get me, ain't scared to admit it. Some shit I can't mention, it's people who can. Well, here's the chance, I won't take the stand. But I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can breathe. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood know I try to keep peace, so it's only right that I get in this grease. March for a reason, I just on GP. How people die for us to be free. Fuck do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. Yeah. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're now tuned in to GEI Radio. Necessary Convo. I am your host, Tone. Got my co-host, Gigi. What's going on?
Everything is good, brother. How you feeling, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Let me just jump in real quick, everybody. I want to welcome everybody to the show officially. GEI Tone definitely rocking the mic. I just finished with a live on one of my platforms, Tone, and I made sure to have people tune in tonight because tonight's going to be one of those situations to where people are going to be able to resonate with the content and the conversation and the dialogue. So it's going to be important for everyone to not only pay attention to the topics and the subject, but give us some feedback and keep it 100 because there's going to be some things we talk about tonight that you probably haven't had this conversation with too many people. And if you did, it was folks, it was in a small group. It was in a small group, man. So I know that, you know, folks are like, yo, Gigi sounds a little bit serious tonight. And I am to an extent, but I just want to set the tone, no pun intended, but I want to set the tone tonight to really dig in and have some conversations. Like I know that we, you know, we have fun and then sometimes we kind of veer off to the subject depending, you know, callers come in and they start talking about stuff or GG rant. I think we need to have a segment called GG rants. That way people already know what to expect and, you know, and they give me like 3 minutes or 5 minutes to do it, get it off my chest and then finish up with it. But yeah, man, so tonight's going to be a lot of fun and it's going to be really interesting. You know, if people really think about from, you know, what the topics and how they have responded in the past, and if that has changed any in today's moment. So, yeah, man, so I'm excited, man. As you can see, I just jumped right in. Shout out to GI Network, and shout out to GI Tone that changed the damn intro songs tonight, man. Come on, give it up, man. We need a clap machine. I said that last week. We need a clap machine, man. He put on he put on some Lil Baby. That's an important song, especially nowadays, man. That song is so important if you listen to the lyrics. You know, he talks about some real stuff, man. And I'm glad he got that song off, and I'm glad that that song has definitely transcended across, you know, the country. So that's a good thing, man. But so, anyway, Matt, are you you in Maryland now?
Yeah, I'm in Maryland.
Okay, all right.
What I wanted to do was, while we let the callers, you know, come, you know, as they come on, before we jump into the topics, I was listening to an interview with Dr. Umar Johnson, and I wanted to get your opinion on it to see how you feel. I know a lot of people, I love politics, you know, so, you know,
okay.
That's one of the things I do be into, you know, super serious, but I just wanted to get your opinion on something that he said, and I wanted to see how, you know, you felt about it, because I know everybody was, you know, hell-bent on change and changing over the parties, and because this party was supposed to be the best party. But he said something, and I just want to get your opinion on it. So he said, we know that what's been going on with the police shootings and the injustice with black America.
Yeah.
We've been going through that forever. But, of course, now we see it on TV. I guess this past year it's been a rise in Asian hate. That's what they were saying. I know they got a whole, like, slogan and everything, like, stop the Asian hate, hashtag stop the Asian hate. Well,
yeah.
And again, both, you know, nobody should be trying to hurt or kill anybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying like one is bigger than the other. But, you know, I guess the president, you know, signed an executive order to protect Asians, you know, to protect them from hate. Not only that.
Yeah, hate crime.
He said it. His first week in office, he signed an executive order for the L. I don't know why I even try to say the names for the you know, the gay community, LGBT.
Okay. LGB. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know. So
LGBTQ.
My question is, the entire campaign was based around blacks, right? The entire campaign was based around blacks. I mean, he even said it out of his mouth, like, if you don't vote for him, you're not black. So why aren't we getting any police reform or, you know, executive orders to stop the hate on, you know, black America? Because we can't even say black men, because they're shooting the kids, they're killing the women. So it's pretty much just black America, period. You know what I'm saying? So... I mean, not gonna say we, people, the masses cried and cried about Trump. You know, he not doing this, he not doing that, he don't care about black people. But, you know, we put somebody in office, and it's the same exact thing, man. It's like, you know, they say that stuff just to get in office. Once they get in office, they don't have to, you know, they in there for 4 years, whether we like it or not. They don't have to really do anything until it's time for election. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. What you felt? What you feel about that?
Yeah. Well, let me first say that that is definitely a serious topic. That the time frame that we have allotted for this show is not enough. right? So I'm just setting that precedent, so that we all know that it's clear that this thing can go on and on. But my personal perspective is, and I did hear about that, as far as the Asian community or the Asian American, you know, everything is literally politically correct. The Asian American community, there was an executive order not only to protect them from those hate crimes, but there was also funding, a relief fund that was extended to that community to help rebuild or to help, or to show some type of commitment. And I'm saying that because there was something very key to help that movement, and it was I want to say two state representatives. I think they may have been governors. I'm not for sure. But let's just say that there were two governors, two Asian American governors, that basically put Biden on Front Street, saying, "Hey, the stuff going on here with the Asian hate crimes and things like that, you know, and there are a percentage that got you voted into the presidency, so you need to do something right away." And I don't know how all of that happened and how it happened so quick, but what I will say is, it really is true, the inhumanity of the treatment of Black people in this country. Like, I don't want to hear any more about, okay, well, you got this, or you was able to do that, or you had a president, or affirmative action. I don't want to hear none of that. As a Black man, I don't want to hear any of that. And the thing is, how can somebody not of this culture or not of this ethnic group say what we have and what we don't have? We can speak for ourselves. And that's the thing. Our voices have not been heard for so long. And if they were, the things that we said fell on deaf ear. They fell on deaf ear, right? But like you mentioned, so when it came to, you know, election, to include President Obama, right, and to include that campaign, when it was time to get that Black, to get that minority vote, you know, they know how to cater to us. They put rap songs and hip hop shit together, mix the hip hop with the politics and all kinds of shit going on. You know what I mean? Got the rappers involved and Black actors and stuff, so they know what to do to get our attention when it comes to the voting. However, I think that the demand of putting things in place for our Black community is still very lax. It's still very lax, and I can't explain that. I really can't explain it because, you know, when you think about our community, our Black community, it's almost like we're still not really categorized. You know, they still don't categorize us as individual, as humans. You know what I mean? It's almost like you would think that we just got over here from another country. We've been here as long as anybody else been here. You know what I mean? So you would think that there would be a lot more progress. We've been on this land just as long as anyone else, right? So when you start thinking about the Mexican community, the Mexican American community, the Asian American community, and even those of the Muslim, right? We've been here, you know. We've been here, and we should be a lot further along from all aspects. And do we have a responsibility, and should we be accountable for some things? Of course. You know, we do have some parts of our culture of Blacks feeling entitled and Blacks feeling complacent with where they are once they hit a certain status. And sometimes that status is of complacency or mediocrity. I'm not going to deny that because that's what it is. You got black folks that come into to money, whether it be inheritance, whether they got a car accident, or whether they, whatever, and then they get their money, but they don't do nothing with it, or they spend it frivolously versus building businesses versus, putting things in play for generational wealth and things like that. So we do play a part, but that has nothing to do on how we should be treated as humans. So I wanted to address that part because that's most significant. Right, because all white folks ain't out here thriving and doing the right thing and have hedge funds and CEOs and things like that. And that goes for any other race. Not all of them are getting wins and are thriving. So if we're talking about just things, just doing the right thing, we still have a long way to go. And the short of it for me is as blacks, as African Americans, what we really have to do is we have to reprioritize because we're still out here taking stimulus money and shopping and Jordans and buying new cars and things like that instead of building businesses, collaborating with those that are established and just doing things that would put us better from an economic standpoint because I feel it's economics, punk. And I said all that just to say I feel like it's economics because you have to think about it. When you start hearing about these killings, if you start hearing about things like these aren't guys that are VPs and CEOs and presidents of organizations and stuff like that. These are our uncles and these are, you know, cousins and these are our brothers and things like that. And not saying that they don't have any statuses or not important. But what I am saying is there is a better respect level when people, if law enforcement runs into somebody and that person knows the law or they know that they can make a call to an attorney or they can make a call to the mayor. They can make a call to the governor. You understand the difference versus somebody's going to call their mama or their auntie talking about, hey, there's four cops out here, right? So we have to build those. We have to build our community. We have to continue to build ourselves as individuals and do those things so that we are forced to reckon with as a group, as a people versus that individual because the cops aren't worried about that individual. They'll do whatever they feel like they got to do to protect themselves, whether it be shooting them or whether it be cuffing them or tasing them, whatever, and taking them to jail because they don't think that person is anyone or connected to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So those are little things that I think make a big difference in our society. And so I just pray, man, that we continue to build ourselves up and even join together as a people. It sounds cliche, but we really need to unify some things so we can get a lot more respect because they're not just going to automatically give it to us. We got to take it.
Facts.
We got to take it. We got to demand it.
I agree. That's cool, man. You that was well said. Good answers. You know what I mean? We definitely got to work together. And that brings us to our I'm pretty sure we won't get to our second topic, so we're just going to jump it off with the first topic. Talking about race and, the ups and downs of, the racism, the lopsidedness, the money, the finances, and all that. Interracial dating. Right?
Yeah.
So that's a touchy thing because you don't want to offend nobody. And, people say, you can't You can't help who you fall in love with. But, Gigi, I'm going to ask you, how do you feel about interracial dating?
Good question. Well, you know, for me, it goes back to how I was raised. And I don't mean, you know, my mama saying, if she can't use your comb, don't bring her home. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, just my environment. So for me, my dad was military. You know, we was military for the majority part of my childhood. So, you know, we lived on base housing sometimes, and then we lived outside of the base. And I said all that to say that I've always been in diverse communities. Across the street, Filipino, down the street, white boy, next door, Hispanics, you know, black folks, African folks. That's how I grew up. So I was around that, and I never felt that. excuse me, I never felt that dating someone that didn't look like me was a threat. You know, I grew up in the military. So we was up north. We was in the South. You know, we wound up settling in the South in Florida. But, you know, I was in North Carolina. I was in the Providence, Rhode Island, Boston, you know, and we have never been in a situation where we were forbidden to date outside of our ethnic group. And so even where, you know, even now, obviously, I'm Mr. 45. I still don't have any issues. Now, I just prefer not to, meaning, you know, who I pursued or who I've connected with just, you know, happened to be a beautiful black woman. Now, but also when I say that is, you know, when we start talking about ethnicities, man, everybody's mixed in with a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I mean, unless you're just straight from the motherland. And you know your mom and your daddy, you know your bloodline, then you know all of us have you know some things in us to where you know our skin is a little bit different. You know, culturally we may have different dialect and you know accents and shit like that, and even the way we grew up sometimes. You know, you got the bougie black folks, and then you got the niggas. You know what I'm saying? Let's be real. You know, you got niggas and you got bougie black folks. And then, you know, so for me, I look at it more so as a connection culturally. Now, and when we talk about interracial, for some reason, people get stuck on black and white, right? They that's all they want to talk about. Would you date a white girl? Would you date a white guy? And so I want us to, especially tonight, I want us to be able to broaden that, you know what I mean? So that's why I talked about, you know, diversity of where I grew up. Those Filipino, those some fine ass Filipino girls, man. They for some reason they got nice legs and calves, you know. They got the thick legs, and you know the Puerto Rican girls, you know, they seemed a little dangerous because they seemed to have hands on them. But they're pretty, and then, you know, you got your sisters, and there's a plethora and a variety of sisters, man, and that makes it beautiful. And I'm not even gonna lie to you, man. There's some cute white girls, and I'm not trying to say that like, you know, that's such a big surprise. But when I say cute white girls, I'm talking about, you know, there's some white girls that got a little body on them, that, you know, they got a little swaggy, and things like that. And you know, all of them ain't got fake boobs and ass implants and stuff like that. So, you know, there's just beautiful people out here. There's beautiful people out here of all colors and creeds and things like that. So, you know, so I've never been that guy to just strictly, I ain't going to do it. That just hasn't, I don't even know honestly, and I'm going to end it with this, I really haven't ran into any women outside of my race that told me that they was attracted to me, because again, you know, I don't know. People, you got to tell me. If you like me, if you think I'm all right, you know, then you got to tell me. If not, then I'm just going to think that, hey, we cool. So I don't even know, man, if I've even appealed to women outside of, you know, my ethnic group.
I think
I don't even know, man.
With me, like growing up with my grandmother, she was like Black Panther, Black Power. So it was like a whole different, you know, look on it. Like it wasn't like hate, but it was deeper. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, it was a lot deeper hearing the stories and stuff like that. So I always, when, you know, growing up, I always used to be like, I couldn't see how a Black woman can give herself to a white man. Just, you know, hearing the stories, not even just slavery. I mean, are we talking the 40s and 50s, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, right.
That long ago, what, 50 years, 60 years? So, you know, growing up is like, man, wow, I just can't imagine that, right? I just, even like Black men, like I couldn't imagine like you giving yourself to a white woman because of how they used to say, oh, he touched me, and somebody get hung. Or, you know, just that whole deal. Of course, as the years goes on, and, you know, school and different things like that, your thought process kind of changed somewhat, right? You start, you know, hanging around, you do business, so things kind of change a little bit. With me, I always, you know, I just like, I don't have anything against white women or Asian women, but I just is like, I'm definitely, if I'm going to be with somebody, it's going to be a Black woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be a Black woman. That's just what I like. Like, that's just what it is. And like you say, it's some beautiful women, period, all races. You know what I'm saying?
For
not
sure.
To say that this race is ugly or this race is this. I just think, I think people pay more attention to the white and Black because of the history, right? It's just a lot of bad history. You know what I'm saying? It's not you know, it's not a lot of good history there when you talk about white and Black. Plus, like, all the other races is, like, Black. If you really think of, like, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Mexican, like, they kind of Black. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Black.
They kind of, you know, you're not.
The Aborigines.
They're not considered.
Yeah, indigenous. Yeah, man. I truly believe that all human race, you know, started with the Black man, Black man, Black woman. And obviously, you know, people are doing more research and people are discovering different things and technology and all that stuff. So I definitely get it, man. I definitely get it. And you made a really good point when you talk about historically the relationships between different races. I would say white and Black has always been the most maybe controversial, just because of the history. And you know, it's a challenge to get people's mindset out of history. You can have your own personal experience and say, hey, I've never had issues with Black folks, I've never had issues with white folks, blah, blah, blah. But historically, there is just so much there, and you can't ignore it. Now, you might not want to give it all of your attention, but you can't ignore it because it's so real. And obviously, a lot of it is still prevalent nowadays. Now, let's just keep it, you know, all the way 100. You know, people going to do what they want to do. Right, they don't care about being judged. They want to love who they want to love. They want to have kids who they, you know, want to have kids with. And, you know, the Black and white baby back in the 40s continued to have kids. And so obviously there's always that mixture there. And it's nobody's fault. It's just life and what it is. But there's still, again, going to always be some type of stigmatism there of interracial dating. And again, like you mentioned, I just think that the Black and white will always be under a magnifying glass. And there's just so much. I know we got callers, but there's just so much when we talk about interracial dating. And it's more than people just saying, well, date whoever you want. Of course you can do that. But even people who date whoever they want when they're in a interracial relationship, there's shit that comes with that, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, it ain't going to be, okay, well, you know what, I got a white wife, and hey, man, you know what, nobody bothers us. Shit me. Or my husband is white, and you know what I'm saying, and you know, everything is cool, his family cool, my family cool. Well, shit, you ain't got to it all yet because it's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you guys can have a beautiful relationship, you know, personally, but there's always going to be influences, man, good or bad.
I just think that history is going to challenge that relationship because it hasn't got better. You see what I'm saying? Like the black and white relationship hasn't got better. So if a white male dating a black woman or a black man dating a white woman, history is going to challenge that. Now, depending on where both of you guys are at, and you know, as far as history and you know this life period, you can get through it. You know what I'm saying? But history is definitely gonna come into that relationship because it's still happening. Like we're still turning on the TV and we're still seeing, you know, white men kill black people, right? So that conversation right there gotta happen in the house. You know what I mean? So those things, it's gonna be with the black and white is always gonna be. I don't know. Maybe you know after we did and gone, it get a little better as far as the relationship. But you know it's there because it's still happening. Like it's not like it got better. You know what I mean? Like we just talked about. You know a white man telling you that you're not black if you don't vote for him. And then when you vote for him, he still don't do nothing, right? So it's just a tough thing. And my next question to you was because I heard somebody say this, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, wow, like that is true. They was like, can you genuinely say you love black men and black women if you date outside of your race?
Can you genuinely say that you love black women and black men and date outside of your race? Now, do you mean exclusively outside of your race?
Yeah, well, if you have a white husband or a white wife. And again, I'm using the white and black thing because I don't think nobody would have – I don't think it's an issue having a Puerto Rican girlfriend, I mean, or a Dominican girlfriend or even an Asian girlfriend. I just think the problem comes in with the black and white situation. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I just think that it's more bash on the black and white relationships than it is on any other relationship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything for me to correct if that's how you feel. But before I address that, I will say that I do feel that interracial relationships are that is better than it was. And I say that because people were getting shot, killed, hung for dating outside their race. And I'm not saying that, you know, that it may not be happening, but as far as the scalability, I don't think that, you know, that's the issue. But anyway, so moving forward on that, one thing that I think is crucial when we talk about this, again, we got to talk about economics, right? So we have to talk about what group of people are actually having the most issues with what's going on, and I'm going to even go as far as to say the upper class, upper middle class, folks that got bread move differently. I'm talking about bread. I ain't talking about somebody who you know hit a lick and you know they good for a few months. I'm just talking about as far as who their circle is, right? Who their circle is, because when you get down to it, people that make certain moves, they prioritize. Like when it comes down to it, the decisions that they make are for profit, right? So if that black man or if that white woman or if that, you know, white man, if they doing any type of interactions and stuff like that, there is going to be a financial, there's going to be a financial gain, and all of those folks are going to move different. I just don't think that folks that got bread like that have the same issues as the folks that don't have bread. I just think that respect level is there because people's priority isn't within the race so much. Now, they may not like niggas, all right, so let's not get that twisted, you know, and then the black folks may not like white folks, whatever you want to call them, honky crackers, however you want to do it. But they will put more to the side to do business and make moves and transactions versus just dogging a lower class interracial couple, and I think
that's what makes it so significant.
It's classism. Yeah, I think classism is not neck and neck. Is definitely close with, you know, if you talk about classism and racism as far as the awareness of what goes on, I think it's classism is just up there. I just don't think that those folks have the same – I'm not saying that they don't have any issues. I just think that they don't have the same issues. And what I mean by that is if you have a black man that is doing good, he's doing well, CEO, VP, whatever, and he goes off and he marries Lucy, right? He goes off and marries Lucy. First of all, they shit ain't going to be at the local church, right? It's not going to be at the local church. They shit may be at, whether it be on a cruise or whether it be on an island. Lucy's folks may have money like that. So they may be doing their shit in Martha's Vineyard. You know what I'm saying? So if they're doing it in Martha's Vineyard, the only thing that matters out there in Martha's Vineyard is green. That's if you got the green, then you can make some shit happen out there. And so I think it's just a respect level. And like I said, even if they don't like your ass, they're not going to be vocal about it. Versus the lower class, look, they go into Longhorn. And maybe getting disrespected. a 72-hour meal, they in there getting disrespected. You know what I'm saying? From the server up to the manager coming out there talking about, you know, he ain't gonna take nothing off of the ticket, blah blah blah, and all that stuff, man. So I honestly think that is a big issue, man. But I'm interested to see what these callers got to say. Because I know they got something to say, man. Especially the women.
Hey, listening right now, if you want to chime in, press 1. We'll get you on. If you want to ask myself or Gigi a question or answer a question that we're talking about, all you got to do is press 1. But, Gigi, you didn't answer the question, though.
Okay, you got to remind me because, you know, Gigi rants.
My question was, could you genuinely, like, could you be for black cause, like a black cause, if you don't even date black, right? Could you be, let's say, I don't want to go as big as Malcolm X or Martin Luther King, but you know, like a Killer Mike, could you speak like that, but date white?
Date white exclusively. So that's why I asked. So if we're talking about that they won't even date their own, and that's an important factor. It is the reason why people decide not to date within their race or date specifically another race. I think that is really crucial when it comes to a tone, because you know the back and forth between black folks is, well, these sisters ain't doing me right, and then the white woman to do whatever I say, or the Asian chick would be subservient to me, or the Mexican chick, she, I ain't even gonna get into the Mexicans, because they be tight. They be tight with their folks, man. you got to be in it to that community, that culture, because they stick with it. But anyway, but what we're saying, what we're talking about, the reasoning behind it is so key. And so, and that's how I answer your question. If a person is like, if a woman says, I'm not dating black, I'm tired of black men, I'm tired of being disrespected by the black man, I'm tired of being called a bitch, I'm tired of being a baby mama and not being married and not marrying me, I'm tired of you leaving these kids and not paying child support, I'm tired of the black men, as if she dated 1 million black men, right? But, you know, she dated such a small percentage of, but the people that she ran into made her sick of black men. And so now in her mind, she's thinking that I'm better off dating a white man exclusively, specifically, because there's no good black brothers. I do see an issue with that. And I do not feel like you are embracing the black family. And that's because I just feel like you have lost your way through the individuals that you've dealt with. The small percentage of black men available that you dealt with, even if you dealt with 500 black men, that is still a very small percentage. Because you know what? What if you stayed in your little raggedy ass hometown? What if you never traveled into another city, another state? So you've limited yourself to the people the black men that you became available to. If you still fooling with the hood niggas, you still fooling with the dope boy, you still fooling with the scammer dudes, then you're going to run into that same cycle. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think that plays a part.
And people are people. Like, you be on social media and you see people, black men and women. I see it all the time and hear it all the time. Like, you know, black women, they loud or they just say that. Like dating another race, of women going to be different. Like a woman is a woman. A man is a man. You get what I'm saying? Like it ain't no, it's no different to me. Like I wouldn't think that it's different. Like, what you think that you're going to go with this Asian woman or this white woman and she just going to let you do what you want? I mean, that's what they say. But, I mean, I feel like they can get nasty and loud and, you know, the same as a black woman. So, I mean, I just think people are people.
That's
and again, like you just said, I mean, you got to question yourself on how you picking on who you dating. Because you didn't date every black man, or you didn't date every white man, so you don't know who, you don't know who's good and bad. You keep picking these people, you know what I mean. So you got to look at yourself. Like if you dated 20 black men and they all was bad, then you got to change up where you going at to pick these guys.
That's important. I can't even, and obviously, and let's be real. It does go both ways. So while the ladies are on here thinking, well, niggas be that way too and blah, 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 it goes both ways, right? So we get that. We understand that. But at the same time, when we look at men, we have to look at men as the leaders and the catalyst of the black family. However, at the same time, women choose. Right, a man can't just go out and say he gonna date whatever woman he wants. That woman has to choose him. He can pursue, but she has to make that decision and choose. So I do agree that, you know, and I've always agreed, I've always stood behind. Women have a lot more to choose from. They have a lot more guys to choose from. They can choose from a guy that want to take care of it. They can choose from a guy that's willing to work hard. She can choose from a bum-ass nigga, right? So that's just three categories right there. But if you look at a guy and a guy pursuing, if she has certain standards which she has a right to, that means he's disqualified. That means he's disqualified. So it don't matter how good of a guy he is, hardworking, whatever, if he doesn't make a certain income, then she's not going to choose him, right? If he doesn't come across, if he ain't swaggy, if he don't have the look, because, you know, women like, hey, you know what, that's cool. You know, you got a little money, whatever, but I need something to look at. I'm visual too. So if he ain't, if she don't find him attractive physically or whatever, then he's not going to get chose. So there's a different, there's a different process when it comes to men and women and how they date and how they go through the transition of meeting, getting to know each other, and then marriage or, you know, life partnership. And I think that is, and I'm just talking about black folks.
Yeah.
I think that is the distinctive difference between other cultures and other races. You understand what I'm saying? Because other cultures and other races, they start that shit from kids. You understand what I'm saying? They started from kids, and they mold their kids in a certain direction. And even if the little white boy don't want to be a physician, even if he don't want to be a firefighter or police officer, that Tommy is going to go through the whole process because he don't want to fuck up his inheritance, or he don't want to be outed, casted out in the family to get whatever he's supposed to get coming. So he's going to go through that entire process. And then at that point, once he's there, then he'll go ahead, and if he veers off, he'll veer off. And I think that is distinctively different on how we're raised as a culture. And I'm talking about black Americans. Now, obviously, it's going to be different because, you know, you got the Claire Huxtable, you got the Mr. and Mrs. Huxtable, you know, with folks is, hey, mama was a doctor, granddaddy was a doctor, and attorneys and things like that. And then you got, you know, the folks that, hey, they just got out of high school. They barely made it out of high school. They may not have a GED. Like, those upbringings are different. And so people will look at, when it's time to choose a mate, they look for somebody who can put them on. They may look at that. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And, they don't want to deal with that.
I don't mean to cut you off. We got a caller, but I do want to ask you this. Do you think, and I hope the caller can answer this too, because, I mean, of course, you're not a black woman, but do you think black women look at white men as success?
Hell yeah. You ain't even got to finish. Listen, I think that is a part of the I think that's the part of the plight. Is if I'm going to date somebody outside of my race, then they're going to have to be able to do X, Y, Z without question. Ain't no sisters dating the white Daquan. You understand what I'm saying? The white version of Daquan. The sisters ain't doing that. Listen, the sisters are going after the best version of whatever white dudes are available. You know what I'm saying? He going to need to have his shit together as far as money and be able to take care of her and be able to do some things that would make him stand out as a man, right? And not go and buy her a Birkin bag, right? Because she can get that from Cleophas. But that white guy, he's going to need to be able to put her on. If she is a realtor or want to be a realtor, he need to put her through school. You need to be able to help her get her brokerage. his family is connected with commercial real estate, blah, blah, blah. She's looking at all that. Like, she's looking at long term if she's going to go that route. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, she could fall in love with, you know, hey, you fall in love with whoever you want. But I do believe that a lot of things are intentional, even in your own race, but very specifically outside your race.
Yeah. Let's get this caller on.
Let's get it
for GI Radio. You on?
Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Caller, are you there?
Hello? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear. What's up?
Okay. Hey, how y'all doing?
What's going on?
I think that there's nothing much. I think it's a double standard when it comes to dating, like, outside of your race or outside of your culture, because I feel like it's more accepted when it's a man, but when it's a woman dating outside the race, it always has to be attached to either someone in the community hurt her or it's a come up. But it's like men can date every flavor in the world, and it's just like, okay, he just got him a new flavor of the month, whatever. It's just, it's more accepted. And I don't know, I've always been confused as to why that is.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I can see what you mean by that. I think that that black women are scrutinized maybe a little bit more than black men, and I think that may be because it may be more common for black men to date out of their race, and then, you know, the black woman dates out of her race, and it's like, yo, what's that about? And as me and Tone was talking earlier, I'm always interested in the reasoning a person dates outside of their race exclusively. You know what I mean? Like, you meet people that only date outside of their race, and you're like, okay, so what happened? Did somebody, you know, did look like you do something to you? What was it? Was it your dad? Was it your mom? Is there some stuff going on in the family? And you just don't trust your own people to look like you. You don't trust your own race. I think that, you know, that stuff plays a part. And then you just got some folks just like, fuck it. You know, I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. And once they get a taste, you know, once they get a taste, that's just what they want to do. But I do think that there may be a double standard. But I think that it's because of what has been said to why. What has been said to why they'll date outside their race. So, Tone, you chime in on this. From what I've heard in the past, I predominantly hear that the sisters are just fed up with them brothers. either that or where they were raised. Like, for me, it's not uncommon for interracial relationships. So if you look back on how they grew up and what they saw, what was condoned, what was scrutinized, then, you know, that's going to help cultivate them in their dating experience as they get older. What did you say?
I think that changed. I think back in the day, it was one-sided. Like, you know, black men could date outside their race and get praised for it, and what black women couldn't. But now, I mean, the culture, everything just shift. Like, women kind of has been in control for like the last 10, 15 years now. So they kind of can do what they want right now. You know what I mean? I don't think they get scrutinized as much as they did, you know, back in the day for doing it. Like, now it's praised. I mean, it's just like everything is praised right now. It's really not bad to do anything, as long as you're not hurting nobody. You know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
not
you
always.
You could be 10 and, again, look at, what's the basketball player? His son is like 12 and he changed himself to a girl. Like 25, 20 years ago, that would have been like, what are you doing? But
right.
Today it's like, it's cool. It's like, okay, that's what he want to do. Bet nobody say nothing. If you speak out on it, you're going to be canceled. You really just got to, like I said, if you're not hurting anybody, everything is acceptable now. Everything, no matter what you want to do, is a go. I think now, like I said, black men probably get more scrutinized for being dating outside their race than black women. To me, I think
it's flip-flop. I'll be honest with you. Like, I found I can't speak for every woman in America. I can only speak for my situation. But I found that whenever I am dating outside of my race, because my ex-boyfriend, he was white. He's mixed. He was white and Colombian. But he appeared, looking at him, he looks like the average white guy or whatever. And we got more slack from the black community. Like, it was a lot of interracial type, like, random shit that happened, but a lot of stuff that we got hit with that was face to face was from the black community, like, and a lot of it surprisingly was from black men. And you know, it was weird because it was just like, well, this is like 2020, like, why is this still something that's out of the ordinary? And, you know, it was a struggle because it was like sometimes it came down to, like, safety issues because people would get out of pocket. And he's like, well, what do I do? He's like, I can choose to fight this out, but I'm still the bad guy. Or, you know, I back down and I'm weak. And it was like that was a part of our normal.
I think. Like I told Gigi in the beginning, that's always going to – the white and the black situation is always going to be a problem. Like, it's always going to be somebody from either race. Like, it could be – if it's a white woman and a black man, it could be the white – you know, on the white side, they might be saying things. And that's because the history – and it's still going on. Like, that stuff is still, the tension is still there. Like Gigi said, it got a little better, you know, as far as, I mean, to our eyes, we're not watching people getting hung, but we are watching people get shot and killed. You see what I'm saying? So it's still the tension and the history. So when you date white, it's going to be some chatter, like, it's going to be, you know what I mean, that's something that you're going to have to deal with. And
right.
I don't, like I said, maybe 50 to 100 years, you know, in the future, maybe it'll just totally go away, but you're definitely going to have to deal with that situation because of our history. And it's, and like I said,
by
it's
that,
going on.
By that time, I think we'll all be one color. I think we'll all just be like a gray. 50 years from now, man, I think that, I mean, especially because we don't know what's in the vaccines, right? So, you know, by that time, we may all be, you know, grayish. So you can't even judge. Anyway, I'm just joking. But, yeah, that is unfortunate. But I also want to say that specifically in this country, because depending on where you're at, because you have to understand, there are heavy interracial couples in certain states to where that's almost a high percentage to almost a majority. I want to say
that's true.
One of those places is, I think, Ohio is big on it. I think the Carolina is big. And that's just, you know, what the population is. And, you know.
And like you said, it's also where you grew up at. It's also where you grew up at. In my neighborhood, we had like maybe two or three white families. The rest was black. So, of course, you know, we're going to date, you know, in our race. So maybe if I was in Utah,
but some,
you know, where it's 90% white, I probably would have
hit Cindy, though. So somebody gonna creep over exactly. there and get Cindy's draws. Come on now. Come on. Somebody's gonna do that. And then Cindy's gonna have
one.
A biracial kid. Hey, Cindy gonna have a biracial, and that's what pops it off. Hey, Cindy's mama. You know what I'm saying? The dad go away traveling. You know what I mean? Leroy come up in there, he bang it out. Once you get that wood, man, come on, man. It's curtains. It's curtains for Cindy's mom once she get that man dingo, man. But
how
seriously,
did this go
you was a good sport. Well,
it always goes left.
I'm out to get a shirt.
It always go left, Kenny. It always go left.
Always go left. You be doing so good, and then they just go left.
Hey, man, you got to put it out there, man. You got to put it out there because these white women still want this man dingo, though. That doesn't stop. Yeah, that doesn't stop. You know what I mean? It just gets to a point that sometimes they're willing to risk it all nowadays. Before, they wouldn't risk it all. You know, but now they're in power positions to where, you know, hey, she can get the wood, and when she wants, she can even take care of Leroy if need be. You know, so
I just
hey, man, your ladies have come along. The woman, in all of her essence, has evolved majorly, as Tone said, in the last 10 to 20 years specifically.
And I'm not going to take up any more of your time, but I will say, just to address Tone's question regarding can you support a cause, and I feel like you absolutely can, because the fact that you're dating outside of your race does not stop the injustice that's going on within your own race. So I don't feel like one has anything to do with the other, but, you know, I don't know whether your question was solely for someone who only prefers to date out of their race or not, but, you know, I feel like it's a lot of interracial couples.
Would that make a difference for you? Yeah, but would that make a difference for you? Would you look at it the same way if somebody says, if a brother says, I am not dating any more sisters, but I am for the black family, but I'm only dating white women? Do you feel like he's for the cause?
For me, it wouldn't make a difference because I feel like that's his preference. It would be the same way as someone says that they prefer to date small, petite women versus BBWs. Everybody has a preference of who they like and what they're attracted to. But like I said, it doesn't stop the fact that there's a racial injustice going on right now that everybody needs to fight for.
Okay.
Yeah.
There it is.
Everybody has their – I mean, again, listen, you can love and like who you want. I just get upset with people when they – like when black men say, you know, black women is this, that, and this and that, that's why I date this. Because you really can't say that because you haven't been with all black women, right? And, same for black women. When black women say men are this, that, and this, this why I date white men. Like, you can't say that because you haven't been with all black men. So just, you know, if you want to date a white man, then date him. If you want to date a white woman, just date him. You don't have to bash the other sex, you know, to make yourself feel good about dating outside the race. Like, that's what you like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I completely agree with that. Yeah.
But I want her to stay on. I want her to stay on because I want to ask this next question because I want to. So this is let me see, where is that? My eyes is crazy. Okay, this was another thing that I heard, you know, on the interview that I thought was, you know, kind of, you know, would be a good topic. It was saying, like, a lot of the interracial kids, black and white kids, or whatever, the Asian and black, a lot of the kids are identifying with not the black race. They are identifying with the white, the Asian, you know, the other side. And I wanted to know, why do you think that is?
I think that children identify with, one, whichever side is accepting of them. And I think, too, they identify with the side that's the dominant parent, whether that's a black parent or a white parent. I know that that's a constant struggle. My niece is biracial, and she has that struggle now, and she's grown. But she's had it all her life, trying to just identify with a certain race. And, you know, I think that it's really just how the parent is teaching them, or how supportive the parents are to intertwine all of their cultures with them. Because sometimes you have to teach your children to that. Sometimes you just have to create your own box, and don't ever let anyone else or any outside source try to help you identify to yourself. So I just think that it's all in their upbringing.
Mm. What you think, Gigi?
Yeah, I think that will always play a part, though. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, how they are cultivated, you know, by their major influences, whether it be parents, grandparents, you know, it's definitely one of those things, man, to where, you know, you're going to have some type of influence. You're going to have some type of influence. You're going to lean one way or the other. And it's not always from a positive aspect. It could just be because you've gotten so much pressure to where it's just easier to lean towards the other side. So it's definitely serious.
So that question came because and I'm so sorry, I can't pronounce her name, but she, the tennis player, she's Haitian and Asian.
Okay.
And she decided to, for the Olympics, she's going to represent Japan, I think. I think she's going to represent, you know, her Asian side. And everybody was kind of upset, like, why didn't she represent Haiti? Because, you know, Haiti's in, like, super trouble right now. It's very, very bad in Haiti. And that would have been, you know, a bright spot for them. So a lot of people was, you know, upset about her doing that. With that situation, I mean, I get what they're saying, but I think it's unfair, you know, because you do have both sides in you. Even though they say, you know, right, the black gene is the most dominant gene, but at the same time, like you said, she might got a relationship with, even though her father did teach her how to play tennis, but she probably just connect with her mom more, you know. So I don't think it's fair to hold that against a kid. Like, you have to represent this when you're doing this, or you have to represent this when you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that to a kid. Like I think, like you said, Candy, it's culture. Like, we both have to have that responsibility as parents to let them know, like, this is your black culture and this is your Asian culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, you mix with both. You got the best of both worlds.
Right.
So whatever you don't have to choose. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a choose. This is what you are. So I think with the kids, I don't think we should hold them to a either you're black or you're Asian. I think
it's a catch 20. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yes,
it's kind of
either
way.
It'd be a catch 20. So yeah. Hey, listen. Everybody got something to say, but we're talking about her life. You know, I mean, you got folks that can't even play ping pong, talking about what she needs to do. Right. So you gotta think about, you know, you gotta think about realistically what's best for the kid. And most of the time, I think that the family, or those that make a difference, allow the kid to be as free as possible in their own skin and not make them feel uncomfortable for whatever they choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And because you have to turn around and cultivate and encourage that child, number one, because they're a kid, because they're a child, right? And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, in addition to that, you know, kids, man, they don't come in this world knowing about color, man. They don't know about niggas and honkies and crackers or stuff. That stuff is pushed upon them. They don't know nothing about
right.
that. You know, and so it. What was that?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Yeah, so that's one of those product of their environment type situation, man. And so, you know, those parents are gonna. Sometimes those parents try to live vicariously through their kids anyway, so you gotta be careful with that.
Yeah,
and then too, what I was gonna say, you also don't know if it was her decision, because I mean, when you look at things like tennis and in sports in general, sometimes it's a business deal. You don't know what kind of endorsements she's getting. You don't know what kind of money she's getting for her representing that country. So I mean, you
Japan
never know
got a
what's
few more
behind.
Yen.
Oh, you is already it, know, and I'm sure they put a lot in her pocket.
Yeah, they take their folks over that way now.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Gigi, it's a catch-22. I can't get what they're saying, but it's just that she a kid. So I can't, you know, would it help her to represent Haiti? Yes, because they need it. So any money made, anything you can do to rebuild that country is awesome. But like you said, you don't know her. Maybe it was already in stone that if the Olympics come up, she agreed to play with, you know, Japan. Is it like, just like a lot of NBA players, like a lot of them NBA players, they leave America and go play for their team, even though they make their money here. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I get it. I just want to get one more question in before we get off the call. And Candy, you might as well stay on. All the rest of the callers, they just listening right now. So. But this is a good one.
Okay.
This is a good one. This getting off the racial, you know, the race subject. Again, this is not a bashing thing. You love who you love. We just, you know, having a conversation. But I did. This is called this topic is called the talk, right? I was listening to the radio one morning, and they were saying one of the hosts on the radio was saying that his 7-year-old daughter. Daughter or son, had discovered pleasure in himself. And he didn't know how to have that conversation. So my question for y'all is, at what age did your parents have that talk with you, if they even had to talk with you? And what age did you have it with your kids?
Whoa. This might get some callers on, so let's dig in.
Get
last minute. You know,
come on, this
I
is not a last minute question.
Okay, well, you know what
we're
doing?
Really it is.
But see, here's the thing. We got a guest. We're going to have a guest next week. If I don't get this out now, it's going to be 2 weeks until I can get this out, so I just wanted to get it out now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a legitimate question that we can address real quick. But I just want to say, you know, for me, I grew up in a home to where there was a lot of church going on. You understand what I'm saying? And so what happened with us is we learned a lot. What we've learned came from either church or the school. So there wasn't no sit downs for me, and I'm the youngest of four. Now I don't know if it was a sit down with the other siblings because they're much older than me, but I don't remember sit downs to where, hey, you know what? Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Period. Not just is you fucking or what? Not that. I'm talking about education. You know what I mean? What are your thoughts about sex? Have you had feelings? Is you getting a stiffy in the middle of the night? Like, Candy, do women have wet dreams as little girls, or is it just dudes?
I think as little girls, it's probably just dudes. You don't have that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we get stiffies. We're trying to figure out why we got a tent in the middle of the night in our bed. So it's a little bit different for us, but so a lot of our stuff came from church and school. So church is going to give you the extreme, right? You're going to hell if you fuck it. Like, it's probably not appropriate to put that together, But this is necessary combo, right? You necessary combo. It's uncensored, right? So we can get away with stuff like that. And so, you know, you're condemned to the pits of hell if you are, having sex. Now, mind you, Deacon and Sister Lois ain't married, but they got a little child on the way. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me not do that. So either church or the school is where we learn what we've learned. School's going to give you the basic information out of the textbook, but you're going to learn from, Mark and Shaquanda fucking in the lock or getting caught in the locker room or under the bleachers or in the back of the bus. So, you know, it had to be something extreme or somebody popping up pregnant. It had to be something extreme to really get a conversation with me growing up. And that's just, you know, me just, you know, telling it like it is. But, you know, those were our influences, man, because that's where we spent a lot of time. That's where we spent a lot of time. And my peers. So, you know, that's kind of how shit went down out this way.
Gigi, you said all that to not answer the question. What age was it?
Damn. Okay, for me, I would say about 15.
Okay. 16?
All the way to 15. All the way to 15. Skip 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, about 15. By that time, you know, I already busted cherry, so, you know, I don't care what you tell. It feel good. I'm doing it again.
So what age will you have that conversation with your kids, or have you had it with your kids?
Well, my kids are teenage. Well, I have several adult children, and my youngest daughter is a teenager. So I did some things differently because, I had my kids because I felt like I did, but I had my kids very early as a teen, and I did not want them to experience what I experienced as far as lack of knowledge of how to protect yourself and how to be aware or even to not be scared to have those uncomfortable conversations with your parents, because you're going to talk to somebody. You know, you're going to talk to somebody, and hopefully you ain't talking to that nigga, because he's going to keep trying to convince you to stick his dick in you. Right? So they're going to talk to somebody, and so I would rather it be me. So I'll eat it. I'll literally eat whatever she tells me. If she told me that he touched her and he'd be fingering her, I got to eat that shit, because if I make it uncomfortable, she's going to shut down. And so that's what I've learned. I would say the youngest age I talked to my kids was probably about 8, 9 years old, 8 or 9. And I feel like that wasn't even early enough. But 8 or 9, we started having the conversations. And, they've been open. All my girls and my son, they have been open about what they had going on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Katie, what age is you?
So as far as, like, my family having the conversation, we've never had the sex conversation. It was just real extreme. Like, my mom was like, if you kiss a boy, you're going to get pregnant. And my dad is like, you fuck around and have a baby, I'm transferring your inheritance. And I'm like, well, shit. This baby's going to make me broke.
Yeah.
This is not what we're going to do.
That is, like, enough.
Yeah, that was enough for me. Like, that was enough. But as far as, like, me having the experience, I experienced it when I was, like, 13 through a guy, you know? And, I mean, technically, if you think back at it, technically he took it because, like, I fought him the entire time because I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, you can eat that? Like, what are you doing?
Okay.
Once I got to the end result, it was like, oh, wow. Like, it was almost like a drug. And, you know, I felt like, for me, because it happened, it kind of sparked the curiosity that kind of, I don't know, it made me more open to try other stuff. And so I probably would have that conversation early with my kids, but I don't feel like that's something you should have with a child that's, like, really young. Like, Tone, in your situation, I mean, in your scenario, I probably wouldn't have that conversation with a 7-year-old. I would kind of deter him from doing that. But because I feel like when you're having that conversation too early, it just makes them want to know more. And I just feel like that's not for them to know at that point in time.
But
so I don't know, I would say around like 11, 12.
Somebody, a caller had, you know, called in and said something very important. It was, they were saying if you have those conversations with your kids early at that age or even earlier, when somebody is doing it and they, you know, like say if they're getting molested, they know what's right and what's wrong because you had that conversation with them. So they know that this is not supposed to be happening. So I was like, you know, listening to that, like, it kind of made sense. But then again, on the other hand, like you said, they are 6, 7 years old. But I guess you would just have to, you know, use your judgment in whatever you feel is good as a parent. I think I would tell my kids as early as they can understand. Not everything, but just what these parts are, especially my girl. Like, I'm just going to go to the extreme. Like, you're going to die if a guy kiss you other than me.
Right.
I would just terrify her to the – I'm talking about she'd be scared to say hi to a guy the way I'm gonna put it. But
that's tough.
But, yeah, I think the – once they start understanding, I mean, you can't go full throttle, but I think you should go step by step as they get older, just letting them know, just in case, you know, again, something, you know, bad happened, like somebody try to touch them or something like that, they understand that don't supposed to be happening.
Right. I think it's cool to teach them what's inappropriate. Nobody should be touching you. Nobody should be doing this. But to have an actual sex conversation, I don't think that's something that a small child should even know because they're not going to comprehend it to the extent that it's going to help them. They're just dealing with stuff that's going on in their body. They're not thinking about other stuff. So I don't even see the point in introducing that to them.
Okay.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. You know, having that conversation of learning about your body is definitely important, even if it doesn't get to the point of, you know, sexual or, you know, having certain feelings and being aroused and stuff like that. You do have to have that conversation about how the body could develop. You know what I mean? The little beast things become teas. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And with the boys, you know, your balls start dropping. You know, you're feeling some type of way. I mean, you never know it. That's the thing about boys. I think that's why it's important to have that conversation with them, because if your dick is hard in fourth period, you know, that could be a traumatic situation, man. You know, so I do think that you have to have conversations about the development of the body. But like you said, like Candy said, it does not necessarily have to be a sexual conversation. So I think that to distinguish that will be important. You know, you get hair, you don't get hair on your balls, you know, on your arms, your pubes and things like that. You know, that doesn't necessarily have to do with anything to do with fucking. You know, so just that type of education, I do think is, you can start as early as your kids are, because hell, every kid is different. You know, you got 12-year-olds that look like they're 16, 17 years old.
Right. Damn near grown.
You know? So how you gonna not talk about, you know, her if she got, you know, a little booty back then and some boobies, man? You gotta say something, because there's gonna be some ignorant ass motherfuckers gonna try her. You know what I mean? So you have to try to get ahead as possible, at least allow them to be aware of what's going on with their bodies, you know, without incorporating sex. Because like Tone said,
do you think the conversation, it stops with the conversation, or are you, like, supporting the action? Like, are you buying, like, some lotion or something? Like, you know.
Yo, Candy can't win
like
it on that,
son.
Man.
Like, here, son, just don't get it on the mirror. Like, what do you do?
I honestly.
Hell no.
Like, I can't even remember having a talk about the only thing. I mean, and my pops raised me. I think my pops just said,
yeah.
He told the one thing that he told me. He just said two things. He said, never trust a man around your woman or your money.
Mm.
That's it. That was the advice that he gave me for as you know a woman go. He never really said like broke it down like the birds and the bees conversation and all that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I never really had that conversation. I don't think a lot of men had that conversation, honestly. I think like Gigi said, it came from stuff you heard, read. Maybe you heard some older guys or some your uncles talking about it, you know, somebody talking about it. And you just took it from there. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of us took it, you know, from things we heard. Yeah, I never had that conversation, but I definitely would have it with my son and my daughter.
Yeah.
I definitely would have it as early as they can, you know, get it.
Yeah. It's really interesting, and I definitely applaud that, Tone, especially because nowadays, man, we want to equip our generations the best way we can in every aspect. But if we look back historically, man, things are just so different. Because, you know, you got great-grandmas, great-great-grandmas and things like that, hell, 12, 13 years old, well, 14, 15 years old, they had a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because how things were, they started families at 15, 16, 17 years old. You know what I mean? And I truly believe that's because they had to. Like, if you know, you had to establish a family for survival. Because if you don't have a wife or you don't have kids, you know, then they'll send your ass anywhere. You know what I mean? There's no ties to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no lineage to you. So I truly think that back then, that's why, you know, I mean, besides, I mean, you know, you back there, ain't too much you can do but fuck, right?
All right.
Ain't too much you can do,
right,
man. Hey, you fuck it. Hey, you do. You doing whatever you need to do, man, and just get your mind off of the shit that's going to happen in a few hours, right? So I do think that a lot of it has to do with just the culture back then, because it was already understood that, hey, we're a family, you know, so we're going to keep this thing tight and everybody's going to play their position versus nowadays, you know what I'm saying, you might have 2, 3, 4 kids and not even get married and still looking. You're looking for a good man.
Yeah.
True story.
You're still looking for a good man. So, but it's just so different nowadays. But we have so much technology. We have so many different influences and obstacles even that we allow to teach our children the things that we need to step in and do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, a lot of times the kids, when you ask them why the hell they do it or why they was thinking about that is, hey, I heard such and such do it, or I see it on TV, or, you know, social media, you know, that's their excuse because of what they saw, and they weren't told anything different. You know, so it reflects back to us and what we're doing to prepare our kids, not only in that aspect of it, but other aspects, financial, you know, spiritual growth, personal development. Like, there's other shit going on besides fucking, you know, but we have to keep our kids, you know, so we have to keep our kids well-versed in other stuff going on in life besides the you know, the YouTube and the social media and all that other stuff, because that's what they're spending a lot of time on.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just that, just regular stuff is forcing them. It's like the world is just throwing our kids into a state where they have to grow up, because it's so much that they're teaching. Even commercials have alternative lifestyles.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
for sure,
you have to have that conversation early. And cartoons are becoming more adult. Like,
yeah, everything.
Society.
I mean, again, that's what I said earlier. I mean, you got a 12-year-old making a decision to change. It's like, made me think, like, when I was 12, that was the last thing on my mind. Like, I wasn't,
exactly,
you know, that's super extreme. You know, like, how are you even thinking like that at 12? But that's just the times we in. So, I mean, I don't have kids, so, but if I did, I would try to get ahead of I would try to be ahead of the world. Because once the kids get a hold of YouTube and all this stuff, it's all you chasing now.
Right.
So if you could put that in them early, you know what I mean, you could kind of get ahead of it. I mean, you know, they still gonna do what they're gonna do, but at least they got some, you know, you laid down the groundwork.
Right.
I think some parents just let it go too long. And you know, now, you know, social media run your kids, and you really can't do nothing about it. So, but that's a whole another topic. Candy, it's always a pleasure. I'm glad you stayed on and rocked with us. We appreciate you. Thank you for calling in. Enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, MC.
All right. GG.
Thank you, Candy. Appreciate you.
Another,
man, it was one of those serious nights, man.
Yeah. You know, once when we get on DC, I figured out our callers, right? When we start talking about like deep, serious conversations, they be kind of playing the back. They be listening. You know, we got a few of them that are calling. But when we talk about the other stuff, they be ready. So, you know, it's cool, though. They all stayed on and kicked it with us. So we appreciate it, whether y'all press one or not, as long as y'all call in and listen each and every Friday. We do want y'all to chime in and give y'all opinion. But if you don't, we still love you. So it's all good.
No love.
GG, let everybody know where they can find you at.
All right, sure. You guys can find me on all social media platforms, GG After Dark. You can also check me out at I Am Rob Malloy. As we all know, next week is the first Friday. So if you're right here in the Atlanta area, come holla at me, Brendan Stilettos, right there in Marietta, Georgia, at Play Bistro and Desserts, man. You can find everything you need, get your tickets and all that stuff, on any of the social media platforms, man. Let's stay connected. How about you, Tone, man? Let them know.
You can find me at GEI_Tone on all social media platforms. You can follow the radio station, GEI Radio, on all social media platforms. And please follow the actual show, Necessary Convo, on IG. Please check out our channel. If you got Roku, download our channel, GEI Network, or you can go to GEINetwork.net. That's the website. You can check out some trailers and stuff on there. Make sure you subscribe. We appreciate that too. And that's it, GG, man. Good luck, you know, next week on part two.
Of the first
Friday. Like I said, I really enjoyed myself the first one. So I wish I was down there to come to the second one. But, you know, it is what it is. We're going to get it together. I'm missing something. I feel like I should be saying something that I'm missing. Oh, next week, please, tell a friend. We got a screenwriter, author, He's going to be joining us. He wrote a book called Porn, The Dark Side. So we're going to get into that. That's going to be a super dope conversation. So make sure you tune in. Be ready to chime in. And that's it, GG, man. Great show. Everybody enjoy your weekend. Again, continue to wash your hands. Y'all president say y'all ain't got to wear the mask no more. So.
Classic.
You know, whatever.
Smoking Joe.
Joe 100 years old. But, yeah, enjoy your weekend. Be safe. We catch y'all next week. Peace.